Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you for inviting each and every one of us here to celebrate your first convention. Yay! Give them a real round of applause. I don't care how many times I do this, it's never easy. To all the ladies and gentlemen that helped me walk through this, from walking me to the bathroom, cigarette breaks, on and on, rubbing my back. I like that part. All that looking stuff. Thank you. I'm not going to shout out everybody's name. You know who you were. But I got to hit one. I'm sorry I got to. It was a radio shout out. I called someone earlier because my nerves had got the best of me. And she doesn't live in Philly. She lives in Jersey. And Angie B got in the car. And she's here right now supporting. And I love her for that. Just the love. The fact to get in the car at nighttime to come support this convention, thank you. All right, my sponsor told me to tell y'all firsthand that all of y'all are on my 8-step list. And my reason is that I sometimes have a tendency to talk fast. I'm getting better. But here we go. If God so wills, in 2 weeks I'll be celebrating 25 years of clean time. My biological sperm donor told me I wouldn't get a day clean. I keep coming. But in order for the newer member to identify what the story before the story, you gotta take them back. We don't dwell excessively, believe me, I don't have time to stay back that long in the act of addiction, but you need to know the story. I worked hard for the money. Creature of the night at the end. Darkness was my best friend. I knew where the narc stood. I knew how to slither through trash cans. I knew where to cop. I knew how to get with you in the dark. Matter of fact, I met you in the dark. We had sex in the dark. You left me in the dark. My skin was dark. It was all dark. That was my lifestyle. Choice I made. I grew up fast. I grew up in a household with four girls. It was like stair steps. Three before me. And we grew up in an environment in Philly, it's called North Philadelphia, and the rooms were very close. And I'm telling you, the topic or the theme is a new vision of hope. Right. I'm talking about feeling hopeless. Illusion was my first drug of choice, and if I'm jumping around, just keep up, it's all spiritual. So I'm growing up fast. I wasn't the oldest or the youngest, I was a knee baby. And if you don't know that's a southern term, it means you ain't the oldest or the youngest, just there. And I always felt hopeless because I always wanted to be like my older sisters. They had boobs, and I would have a prayer, dear God, give me boobs, two of them, I plead. And one time they gave me a job. They said, Glenn, your job is to call a test, say, tuck under. I'm like, I got a job. That means I fit in. I was a little girl, I didn't understand like what they were asking me to do until much later in life. But what it was when my biological father would come down the hallway, there was a board outside of our door that would creak. And my job was to hear that creak and and to say to my two older sisters, tuck under. And what that meant was for them to do was to flip on their stomach, put their hands over their breasts, and squeeze their legs real tight. And my father would come in each night and touch their bodies. And I was a little girl, and I understand, see, misinformed people getting misinformed information. I thought what he was doing to them was showing them that he loved them. So I grew up believing what he did with them wasn't wrong. It was just that I wasn't good enough. So I grew up believing that if I got that thing that he did to them, I would be loved. So I always believed that love came through the vagina. I'm sorry, you couldn't tell me no differently because daddy did to them. So if I got with you, that meant you loved me. So I grew up fast. There was no long story of youth. I was 13, I lost my virginity to a 28-year-old man. His name was Bird, he did just that, the bird. Chronicle romance lied to me and told me I was going to hear water running over rocks, violins playing. I didn't hear none of that. All I got was some Reaper blowing up my nose and some Tokay wine and it was over. And in my mind, what I felt was like he had removed the barrier between me and men, so now I could get real love like daddy was giving them. I grew up quick, y'all. On my back most of my life. At the end when I met and was introduced to the drug, if you want to call it choice, I really don't believe there was a choice. It was whatever took me out of reality. I already felt hopeless. Never fit in. You ever try to get in someone you just never fit in? All the girls were having on skirts. I would run home and get a skirt. Did everybody see me change clothes? Now they got jeans on. I never fit in. I always wanted to be you. I had to buy you. I would steal to keep you. I would tell you the most outlandish lies just to be near you. Do you know I wore a winter coat in summertime and grew an afro this big because I wanted to be a part of the guys? Because I was in love with the lead guy, and to me that was acceptance, looking like a man. Still never loved me. So I was introduced to this drug by my oldest sister. At the time my father was using, I was using, and my sister were using. And something about this drug of choice made our mouths twist to the side. And so we happened to go home one day to where we kind of crawled through. Yeah, you can't call that living. That's just existing. And my mother looked at all three of our faces, which were all twisted to the right. She said, "What is wrong with y'all? Ain't nothing wrong with us. What's wrong with you? Your mom not twisted. Something wrong with your mouth." My mom was like, "What?" The insanity of my lifestyle seemed sane. My lies became my truth. Do you know I told myself that I was going to date all y'all tricks? Y'all really were my future exes. Y'all just didn't know it. Anything to rationalize and justify to the most outrageous sort of nonsense. Talk about feeling hopeful. What hope is there when somebody's laying on your body and you're already burning? I don't mean like just fire, tank. It's cold. That's my way of heating up. Any reasons? I stink. Underwear became a luxury I didn't want to afford. What for? I'm tricking. I ain't got time to put on those drawers. Come on. It's fast and money. Gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia, trichomonas. I'm talking about crabs, not the kind with butter and garlic sauce. I mean the real ones. Ah, they itch so bad you get on a tree like a bear. Ah. Transformer. You may hear and share, but I'm the original. Dudes would come up to me and say, look, we had you last week. Can you be something else? How about an Indian? Ow. For $1. I started at the end. I went bargain basement coochie. Buy one, get two free. I gotta get mine. The highs weren't coming. No more. You never got that first high you were looking for. And the lows were so low. And I love it when they had a share. They hit a bottom as if it was something really. One morning they woke up like, I think it's a bottom. I'm sorry, bottoms have levels. When I ran out of money, that's a bottom. When a girl I was getting high with ran out of money, that's a bottom. Damn. When the cops was chasing me, oh, damn, it's another bottom. When the cops caught me again, well, damn, that's a real bottom. But I would always bounce back from a bottom because it's not a true surrender until you get whacked. I never want to forget my end, because I never want to repeat it. I'm taking it in for the moment. I got no money. I got no way to get high no more. Nobody wants me around. Mom makes me clap my hands while I walk through the house so she'll know where I'm at so she can move her pocketbook. My sister's getting high on one part of town. My dad is lost out there somewhere. My baby sister, she decides to save me. A little girl is going to save me. And I will never forget that moment when she said, Glenn, I'm going to keep the monsters away, the bad guys. I'm going to keep them away from you, Glenn. And she took it, she pushed this old ratty couch I had against the door because she was going to, with her little body, keep the bad guys away. What she didn't realize was I was the bad guy. And I'm watching her, and instead of the same thing would be to feel like comforted by somebody caring up on you, I saw that she was blocking my ways and means of getting one more. So I do what addicts do best. I transform into, how do I fix this mode? And all night long, now I made promises to the dope dealer. I'm going to give him some punani, hoochie, whatever you want to call it. I'm being respectful. And all night long, what she didn't realize, that little girl, was that the door didn't open inward, it opened out. So all night, they jumped over her bed, the little couch that she laid on in a ball, with her little footy pajamas on. All night, crackheads, hair on you, everybody was jumping over her. Everybody was like, in slow motion, it was the weirdest crap. We're getting high in silence. When all the drugs were gone and all the money was gone, I looked at my sister and the guy that I had promised my body to. He said, it's time for you to pay up. And you know how we get balls, we get some kind of strength we never knew we had. I'm like, I'm not giving them nothing, dude. Nothing. You ain't getting nothing from me. It's gone. Too bad. He said, that's all right, boy. He said, I'm going to take it from the little girl. Even in your worst state of active addiction, I gotta believe this to be true, because none of us would have hit bottom. There is a grain in you of some semblance of humanity. All I can see was crawling over my little sister. To this day, she never will know what levels of degradation I had to go through to keep him off of her. Do you understand what I'm saying? She was the only thing that was clean in there, and how could I give her to him? I had to do things that still make my flesh crawl because he was so determined to end her innocence. I couldn't do it. And it was like a week after that I hit a bottom. This was one you can't come back from. When you give your paraphernalia to the guy, like, look, take it. I gotta do something. I don't know what it is. And I remember crawling into where I work and still. And I remember into the floor. And at some point, the animal in me felt that that was all I was worth, was the floor. And I curled into a fetal position. And I will never forget that moment. Never, ever forget that moment. And I remember, like, curling up, I'm holding up my finger. I'm like, God, please. If you can hear me, Glendora, I am so sorry. God, I didn't want to be here. I'm so sorry. The men are hurting me. Can you please take me with you? Because there's nothing else left here for me to do. Just let me go to sleep. I promise I won't get in the way anymore. And God heard my prayer. 7 days later, God brought me home. Welcome to North Carolina. This is it. This is the home I yearned for. This is the home I begged for. I never knew about you. I never knew there was some place like this where I could finally rest. Do you understand? There was no hope in the streets. I just was hopeless. But I rolled up in here and I saw all you hugging people. You were strange, but it was better than where I had come from. I thought it was a gay rights convention that hadn't slept with any women. So I figured I was gonna charge y'all extra because y'all was clean. I had 8 days clean, Narcotics Anonymous. And I came in as a newcomer, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do this with a new member that can't talk, because I run my face. I watched you old-timers. Y'all think they don't? Everything you did, I mimicked you, because you were doing something. You were something that I came to believe in. There was some hope that you got a glow-in-the-dark keychain. Oh, my God, it glows in the dark for real. Does it really? It says, yeah, it lights up so you don't have to. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I would walk around and I would sit behind you in meetings. And if you said something about the speaker that you didn't want to hear them again, I would take on your personality. I don't want to hear them again. But I ain't been there for 8 days, but now I don't want to hear them again. They speak everywhere. I got 8 days clean and I'm judging. Because I heard you say it. I walked around the room and I got on the coffee patrol. I kept drinking coffee because there's something in us. There's an emptiness that the drugs could not fill. We saw things out there to fill the void. So coffee and sex was mine. Look, if you want what I have to offer and you're willing to make the effort to get it, there's certain steps that you can take. And I saw you and you saw me, and you saw me get up 5,000 times to get coffee. I wasn't really drinking, I just wanted you to see me. But I kept coming back. And I used the cliches, they were what kept me clean. If you don't pick it up, you won't get out. I'm like, that's too simple. That's too simple for me. I gotta figure that one out. Just don't pick it up, okay? I had to go deeper, just for the day. And some days, it's like, my mind is racing. I'm into next year. It's a no, Glenn, focus on the day. And sometimes you gotta break it down to focus on an hour. How about a minute? Take it down to a second. I'm like, okay, I can do with that. Then y'all gave me something else. Y'all told me to get a home. What the hell is that? You want me to do everything, God? I just got here. All right, they said, break it down for you. What is a home group? Think about an active addiction. You're Tutu and Lil Dom. You're all met at this abandoned building with rats and roaches. That was your home group. There was always somebody who collected the money and told you you were short. They were the secretary. There was always one person in the party that could run fast through the cops and everything. Well, they were your treasurer. And there was always somebody, an active addiction, that took your dope or your money, smoked your stuff or shot it or did whatever they want with it. They were your negative sponsor. So now, in Narcotics Anonymous,
wow.
In NA, I just flipped the script and put a spiritual hit on it. I got there early and I stayed during the middle of the meeting while the speaker spoke. Because let me tell you, the spirit of the Newport will take everybody out of here. We'll be all on top. Ain't nothing to clean a room like the spirit of a Newport bar. And there was a member in our own group, he had the glow-in-the-dark keychain. I was so amazed. He said one day, I couldn't get out fast enough. He said, why are you always running? Understand, it's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. I said, I don't know what else to do. I got to go home and be safe. He said, this is now when we're going to teach you how to socialize again. I said, let's go to the diner. I'm like, diner? Oh, that's not good. Not good things happen in the diner for me. I ain't going to get into all that right now, but ego and pride, newcomers, will kill you. Old timers, too. Watch out. So I felt my pockets and they go into this diner and I'm nervous because you're going to judge me because judgmentality with hope, it kind of defeats hope. When I'm afraid of you thinking about me will kill hope every time. I will go inward. And y'all invited me to a diner. Y'all were all ordering the T-bone steaks and big hamburgers and all this good food. And they got to me. The waiter said, excuse me, miss, what will you have? And I said, felt my pocket, a tea and a salad. My stomach said, rah, rah. A tea and a salad to a big girl is like a Tic Tac to a whale. What? Cheeseburger, something. He said, I got it. And why do we flip back into active addiction mode? Somebody do something right to us. We always looking for, what do I got to do for you mode? What's up? What I got to do? I got on the driveway on my knees, man, for a cheeseburger. Damn, my price is dropped. You know, I go there. I'm new. So we start to eat. Now, understand, I ain't got much to say. And they like passing and talking in a language, which is so cool. It kind of go like this. Yes, I'm turning it over. God is good. I have a sponsor today. We're going to sponsor meetings. We're going to make some conventions. And, you know, I'm powers over there. And I'm like, wow. But I'm feeling y'all. Because nobody's hand is between my legs. Nobody touching my breast pretending like they're not. Y'all looking at me as if y'all really care about my opinion and what I feel about things. Y'all actually are asking me questions on how the group could get better. Y'all really were concerned about this addict and not what I use or who I use with, but what I want to do with my problems and how y'all can help. That's what this whole thing is about at the diner. Y'all forget it. And it's there that we connect with the spiritual program, part of this program. We're accepted for who we are, not for who we used to be. It's like we want to know where you want to go. And is there anything in me that could possibly help guide you there? So I'm sitting there to give me the hamburger. I ain't got much conversation, but when that hamburger hit that spiritual void and I understood and I surrendered to a first step, I'm an addict. I got static. I use any and all things in order to avoid reality. It's painful. When you feel a hopeless, reality sucks. But something about you people, you were my second step. You helped me come to believe. You gave me a new vision, a different way of looking at life that I had never had in those 13 and a half years of using. So when I bit that cheeseburger and it hit that spiritual void and your hands was in between my legs, I came out of a 13 and a half year stupor. And I went something like this. I'm making these all over the world. I don't do no drugs. I don't go to drug dealers. I don't mess with nobody who got drugs. I got tattoos on my arm, tattoos on my leg. And if you buy me some dessert, I'll tell you some more. They were like, damn, we didn't know you had all that in you. And they bought me dessert. You'll say some more. And I love that. Because when we got to the door of the restaurant, I'll share this for you. Nobody said, Glenn, get on your knees. And I don't mean in prayer. The guy with the glow-in-the-dark keychain came up to me and he got close. What is it about us that we automatically cringe? And he whispered in my ear and he said, what I did for you today, you do for someone else tomorrow. We pass it on. We pass it on. We give it away. We pass it on. Buy that newcomer a cheeseburger, even if they got money. It's nothing like the feeling of connectedness. You were my whole shot. You were a power greater than me. You would say things I could never raise my hand and express. You helped me have an open mind. And ain't it funny as you get time clean, how your open mind starts to really not be as open as you thought it was? Let it be somebody you don't like. Are you as open-minded to that person as you thought you were? Let the decision not be swaying the way you think it should. Are you as I don't. I got arrested once, and I'm not going to tell the story no more after this convention. I was in Florida, and I was robbing Walt Disney World. And as I was going out the door with the stuff that I had stolen, my baby sister, the same one, was going with me. Now, this was an act of addiction. I had my drug paraphernalia in my bag, plus all the stuff I stole. So the Keystone cops came up to me and said, we want to talk to you about your shopping habits. So I thought they were joking, man. I'm like, what? They made me and her walk down Cinderella Pumpkin waving in the parade. We was going to jail. Here we go waving. We get back to the dragnet room. This is so corny. And we say, look, you ain't got no evidence. That stuff, somebody put it in our bag. They said, we got witnesses. The door opened up and it was Mickey Mouse and Goofy. I'm like, ain't this a... about that story, we're gonna move on. So I went to a third step and I made a decision. And I love when you say let go and let God, it's been so easy. Let it be something that you really want. I'm not saying that it's something good for you. It's something you really want.
Come on.
So I got my own tag. Let go or be dragged. Dragged. You ever seen them cowboy movies where the guys are being dragged? That's a lot of us. And it's mostly sexual relationships. How many times have I been in a relationship and I'm the only one in? You say, what's up, Bob? I see your girl over there. Ain't my girl. Don't listen to him. He don't know. On the finger, and I chose to ignore it because I wanted to believe you really were going to get divorced this week. And all the promises that you made to me that you slept in the basement, she slept upstairs, you're doing it for the kids. I held on and held on. Let go or be dragged. How many days have I walked around inane? Afraid to go to certain areas because I had slept with so many of you. Baby, what you want, thick or thin? Let go or be dragged. As I become willing and the pain becomes greater, I'm able to let it go. I'm so willing. And I started looking at myself on the four-step realm. Who are you, Glendora? Not who your mom wants you to be or your dad. Who are you? I'm not the... I'm sorry. In the streets, it was required of us to transform and be everything and anything. In recovery, trying to fit into some of these cliques, y'all know we do. We transform. But who really are the hell? Who are you? And I started writing, and one of the greatest things my sponsor... Understand, I didn't leave that part out. I've got a sponsor. I don't take no steps without a sponsor. I believe that with sponsorship, I'm able to be molded and guided with her experiences and her strength and her hope. And she's able to put me on a path. And if she doesn't have the experience or the information, she will direct me to someone who does. She doesn't need to share like she's at a convention, nor theorize, nor give me her opinion. Matter of fact, someday the sponsor is just somebody who needs us. Can you be my sponsor? She said, damn right, if you allow me to. And she started guiding me, and I did a four-step, and I got really good levels up. The first four-step, I'm going to be honest, was surface stuff. I was scared that you was going to condone and condemn me. So I gave you the whole piece of, like, sinking inside. She's not going to like me by telling the truth. But as you get the pain, secrets will kill you. I started realizing I wasn't hurting my sponsor by lying or not telling the whole truth. I was denying myself spiritual growth. So I started writing like Jackie Collins. There was sex, there was blood, for Glendora. First phase is called enchantment. It's where you can't stop thinking about that person. Every song that come on the radio seems to be dedicated to them. You're sitting in a meet two seats away, you're texting each other. Convention together, you can't make the meetings, you upset. You're enchanted, baby. His back with the little freckles on it, oh, that's so sexy. Oh, your little mustache, he says he like him hairy. And it goes on for a little while, somehow you slide into the second phase. It's called disillusionment. And you make statements like, I should have listened to my sponsor. And what happens in disillusionment is those same freckles that you were so fascinated by when y'all first had sex, now you start to notice more of them. You're like, what's wrong with your back? You don't have no mama. What's that? And her little cute mustache that you said like a kitty cat. Well, it's been a while since she's had electrolysis done. And she got a full beard and it's like Lion King. You're like, trim, trim, trim. And you're disillusioned. And you're starting to look around the room to see if you can find a replacement. Because you're not sure you made a good choice again. We're talking about four step stuff. Oh, he gave me 3 minutes. Here, y'all gotta hold on. Here we go. So, you move on to misery. That's when you're sitting there looking at each other and you really can't stand that you were egghead. You don't understand why you God do this to you again. And what you usually do is you drop here and you go back into the rooms, a different side of town, and get a new one, and I call it the NA Square Dance. And what you do is you go in and you pick another victim. And it goes something like this. Mary go by. Relationship, we're able to move on to the fourth phase, which is called mutual respect. And what mutual respect is, if you're both of y'all in recovery, your higher power is your higher power, mine is mine. My day and your day don't dictate our feelings. I'm sorry, you had a bad day, I'm sorry. Mutual respect means I've done some work on me and I know what my soulmate is. And I know I won't compromise, nor will I get to a point where I'm in denial. No longer will I accept the crumb and call it a whole loaf. I'm deserving. No more will I take a happy meal. I want the full enchilada. And I'm sorry, there's some work that has to be done in mutual respect. Your work. So now he gave me 5 minutes. Hold on. Here we go. Fifth step, I said, get to the exact nature. Why do you want me to the exact nature? Because I want you to find them defects of character that are killing you in the rooms. Or sixth step, entirely ready means like, some days I feel good about it, some days I don't. Depends on how much pain is involved, will I become entirely ready? Seventh step tells me like, as I tried entirely ready and ignored it and kept acting like a fool, God's got to restore me, and I understand shortcoming means coming short of God's will. Eighth step says, I've done some harm with them defects of character, and I made a list, and I checked it twice, and I really found out that Glendora ain't always nice. I saw my mother's name appear on the list, and I saw Glendora's on there too. I'm sorry. Done some harm. I would feel lumps in my breast, and I would ignore it. I wouldn't go to the GYN because I was afraid of the feedback. I hurt my mom because my mom made a decision with the best information she had. Ninth step. My mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 3 years ago. I'm talking about ninth step amends. God sets up the time. God sets up the time, not you. And I'm in position to understand. I gotta go fast, y'all. I gotta keep up. Mom's got Alzheimer's. She don't remember who I am. Right now, I'm her mother. My mom went from 300 pounds to 99 pounds. She's in a nursing home. My mom has escaped the nursing home 3 times. She's in maximum security lockdown. Don't fall far from the tree. When I went away to detox, my mom packed my bag like I was going to summer camp. She gave me canned corn and candy corn and cookies because she loved me. How dare I not on the ninth step realm be there for her body, clean her hair. Do you understand? That's my mother. And in the night shift, I'm not asking for your approval on what I do. I got a God that's so awesome. When I stand before him, I know I can hold my head up. That's my mom. They left her with doo-doo all over her one night. She messed with herself, and I came in the next day. She had doo-doo dried on her leg. She had slept all night in a bed encrusted with filth and feces. And I knew in the moment on the night step realm, I'm not going to cause any further harm, because I was afraid that if I went off like I wanted to, that I would have might have hurt my mom when I left. So in the moment on the night step in the 10th step realm, I'm checking myself. I'm like saying to my little sister, like, Michelle, you need to go in that nurse's office and talk to them, because if I go in there, I'm going to beat that ass. That's my mother. Do you understand? That's my mother. She's all I got. I'm not married. I don't got no kids. It was me and her in the trenches. And today she's still handling it. A lot of times y'all call me, I'm not there. I'm at the nursing home watching my mother. Y'all taught me that. 11th step. I saw prayer. I saw prayer. God, please. I pray on everything. Look, I will get on a plane. They fly me a lot of places. I don't get on unless I touch it and pray. I'm not no magical, mystical thing, but I just believe prayer works for me. It's my communication with God. And I'm talking to God with everything I do. Look, I will pray for your balls. If they hurt, I'll pray for them.
Please, if you